Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/Count the Dings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome to another fun-filled episode of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. My name's Amin Alhassan. I'm joined, as always, by Black Trey, Jay Skills, and Big Jerv. Hell of a show. This is a fucking deep-ass show we got for you guys today. The last day of the year when we recorded, the first day of the year when you're listening to this. But first, patreon.com/countthedings. Go there. All the extra content. First of all, if you listen to this episode for free, that means you listen to little chunks every single day. You got to wait till the end of the week. Don't do that. Listen to it all at once. Be a Patreon. You get it all at once right there on Mondays. It all drops together. Also, the Cinephobe Rewatchingtons, the watch-alongs that we do for Cinephobe. We do that also for NBA games. We got the Cinephobe Special Edition episodes, the OG podcast, all sorts of extra content, patreon.com/countthedings. Make sure you're locked in there. All right. We started the conversation today with Dave Chappelle's new stand-up special, The Dreamer, that dropped on Netflix today on December 31st. Here we go. So I'm going to transition this into something. So Tom Haberstroh, our buddy Tom Haberstroh, wrote about last year, before all the suspensions and shit, Ja Morant called a referee a hoe in an interview, right? But it never came out because literally the game was Memphis at Oklahoma City during the holidays. None of the Memphis media made the trip even to cover the game in Oklahoma City. Most Oklahoma City media, there's like one person, right? And so the one dude was an AP reporter because Ja had been ejected from the game. So he went to the locker room. He's like, I'm gonna ask Ja about the ejection. Is Ja being made available? And Memphis PR said, yeah. He goes, he's the only media person there. So instead of like having a bunch of people with their phones and cameras out, it was literally just one dude. So he asked Ja, yo, what happened? You got one T and then you got the other T. And Ja's response basically is Ray Acosta, the ref, was being a hoe. So the dude, because he's not even the regular AP dude, he's the backup dude.
He don't even know where to take this shit.
Yeah, he's like I just filling in for the main dude who's off for the holidays. Like, I thought I'd just give him a break. I'm a 65-year-old college professor. I just do this shit on the side as a side hustle. So he ends up taking it out the story. He sends it to them, to the AP, but he's like, in his write-up, he leaves that quote out, and the AP doesn't put it out either. And because his whole thing is like, if I left it in there, the story wouldn't be about his ejection. The story would be about his comment. Then it blows up. And by the way, I'm not the one who's going to be dealing with this shit. The AP nigga that I'm backing up, I'm trying to give him some time off. Now
he's going to have to deal with it and come back to some work.
To some work, right. So I'm not going to do that shit. So he's like, I left it out. So it never gets reported and it never gets heard. So Tom gets the shit this week. He wrote something else about Ja Morant.
Last week.
And so the dude, the AP guy's like, yo, I read your shit, by the way. Here's the sound from this shit. So Tom, like, puts it out, and he writes this really, what I thought was a really fucking wise remark, which is, like a smart thing that back in the days when media was in the locker room, players automatically knew to have their guards up. I'm not going to say no crazy shit. There's 17 cameras and 14 microphones, whatever. I'm always going to be on top of my shit. But because of COVID and because like the league has been more and more restrictive about who gets in the locker room and because of some of these wild ass destinations like Oklahoma City where nobody want to go, you're increasingly finding locker rooms where these niggas are talking to nobody or talking to one person. And it's a lot easier to talk crazy when it's just one person. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, does this generation, the Ja generation, are they missing out on something that like the LeBron, Chris Paul generation had, which was, yo, fear of like, yo, them niggas is on me, so I gotta watch what I say. Michael Jordan, watch what he say, because he's surrounded by mics. Kobe Bryant, watch what he say, because he's surrounded by mics. Ja Morant, ain't nobody around here, so I could say some crazy shit, because I didn't grow up with this feeling of, yo, you better watch yourself. So in essence, like, that shit kind of almost got him in trouble. Well, I thought it was a great point. I never thought about it. And so Demetria Obelor, who, she got a TV show or a podcast on Revolt, and she's big on social media, whatever. She tweets out, she quote tweets Tom shit. She says, the targeting of Ja Morant continues. Bad journalism, Tom. This isn't a story. You've been holding this exclusive audio since last year. Last year? LMAO. And now you decide it's timely to release it under the guise of trying to save the NBA superstar from himself. I'm not clicking your link. So a couple of things came to mind when I saw her tweet. The first thing was, the nigga literally wrote in his fucking tweet and in the headline of the column, if you saw nothing else, the finder obtained the audio last week. He said, I just got it.
Niggas don't read.
Niggas don't read. But like, I always, this is the one thing I do.
Just name an episode, by the way.
If it's random motherfuckers on the internet, y'all just random up. You a fan, you'll get loud, you're gonna say what you want to say.
But mute the conversation.
She's a journalist. Mm-hmm. She went to journalism school. She worked in local news. She got her own show, right? She knows the deal. For her to, A, be so sloppy, like, you said you had it since last year. Did you read the thing? Not the, the thing. I know you didn't read it. I didn't click on the link.
I mean, Tom White, he targeted.
No, but it ain't.
I'm being sarcastic, by the way.
I know.
But, like, hey, Trey, white niggas, sidebar, white niggas really think it's out for them. It's up for them right now. Like, they really think if you ask a white man for real in America right now, some real shit, like, if they think they being targeted, bro, they really think they the niggas right now on some crazy shit.
I mean, to be fair, bro.
In the literal sense, they're the niggas.
And the liberal ones too, bro. Like, all of them, bro. If you really ask them in a serious, like, you give them two shots and let them ease up and, like, say what they really feel, like, a nigga will tell you, like, yeah, it's hard for me right now. Like, what?
I mean, look, from the other side, from how Amin's perspective was, me and Tom had a conversation. I told him, like, bro, I read it. I don't have a problem with it. I said, there's no right timing for this shit. You know what I'm saying? Whether the motherfucker was going 0-5, whether they 5-0, it's journalism. My thing is, as the motherfucking journalist, you got to understand, once you release it, it's going to be critiqued. And it wasn't targeted. Yeah. We know you, nigga. My white nigga. We know you that you not one of them. You know what I'm saying? He literally on my fucking refrigerator. That white family on my fucking refrigerator. You know what I'm saying? My brother. You know what I'm saying? Realistically. But at the end of the day, Black Twitter don't know that nigga. You know what I'm saying?
But that's why I say, Trey.
So the 1% is going to react. Like how
I'm not talking about Black Twitter.
Demetria, talking about Demetria. Fuck, because she bullhorned that shit to Black Twitter. You know what I'm saying?
But my thing is,
following.
That's my criticism. But that's my criticism is never on Black Twitter because Black Twitter is going to do what Black Twitter does, right?
Right.
Like, they're going to take it and run with it. The same people who think, you know, whatever. But like, when it's someone who works in this shit, like, I think at the very least, if you're going to react to a tweet, you better read the tweet. Right?
You don't think that this is engagement farming in some fashion?
Like, again, maybe. I want to think more highly of her than like, I know this nigga said this, but I'm going to do this because this is going to get the internet going. I want to think more highly of her because I'm, as someone who works in media, I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt that she didn't give Tom. Right? She didn't give Tom the benefit of the doubt. Like, this dude works in media. And like, if you look at his track record, this nigga's not like, he's not Skip Bayless. He's not, you know, one of these guys that says sensational things. Or the things he writes about or tweets about even, like, are of a certain caliber. So maybe I don't agree with his headline and I won't click his link. But I'm gonna read the tweet at least, like, to the thing that I'm supposedly reacting to, right? It's one of my big pet peeves in the world. Like, be mad at me for some shit I did say. Don't be mad at me for shit I didn't say. When I said De'Aaron Fox is who Ja thinks, or is who De'Aaron Fox thinks. What did I say? I said Ja is who De'Aaron Fox thinks he is.
I said that. You inspired All Star play.
that's my funny way of talking about it, but like the real I always say is like, I never said De'Aaron Fox sucked. I never said he was garbage. I never said he wasn't good. I never said he couldn't play. I never said any of those things. I never insinuated that. What I was insinuating is that Ja is A, a better player, and B, is a more impactful player. Beyond like just playing basketball, dribbling, shooting, but all that stuff. Like, what Ja does on the court at that time was better than what De'Aaron Fox did.
But then you went up on the Kings though after that. You did.
No, but I went up on the Kings because they're not good. They weren't good.
Then they got good.
No. But niggas was mad at me at the time.
Right.
And by the way, that year when I said it about him.
No, they went like 26 and 60 or some shit.
Hold on. Yeah. So when me and him had that back and forth, this was December of the COVID year, the next, the year after. So the year when it started Christmas, remember that season?
Yeah.
So it was December, meaning it was the first month of the season. And me and him had a little back and forth. And the last thing I said to him is, I said, it's cool. I'll even come to Sacramento on May 15th. And we can hang out at Chuck E. Cheese. And the significance of May 15th was that was the last day of the regular season. Because my thing was, your season's going to be over on that day. And niggas talk shit. And then the Kings played the Grizzlies. And De'Aaron Fox played well. And the Kings won. And everybody's like, what's up now? What's up? And all that shit. And what were they May 15th? They were sitting their ass at fucking home. Like I said.
Did you pull up the Chuck E. Cheese?
I didn't. I had to work. I couldn't.
Oh, see?
Well, he might have been there. He might have been waiting for you.
You wasn't standing gone. On business, man.
I was standing on business, my business. I'm not going to pay out of pocket to fly to fucking Sacramento. So watch this. So that was 2021. Terrible. He's good. Not as good as Ja. And the Kings are not good at all. 21-22. Were they good? No, they were fucking terrible. And Ja was better. Ja was on the MVP ballot. Ja was an all-star. Ja won most improved player. Kings, nowhere to be found. Last year, Mike Brown first year, and they start the season well, and I'll never forget this. De'Aaron Fox says, he had a quote where he's like, yeah, like coach has us like emphasizing defense a little bit more, like a lot more. And, you know, he talks about shot selection, but I don't think there's any difference between me last year and this year. And I'm like, that's my point. That was my whole point. My whole point was this nigga still thought like I'm the same person. Like, no, you're not. If you needed someone to tell you to emphasize these things, then by definition, you are not the same person. You have changed. You have become better due to your coaching. Through this all, I never once said he couldn't play. But Black Twitter don't give a fuck. I guess King's Twitter, NBA Twitter, right? It doesn't matter, right? Oh, he called him a bitch. And then like every time he has a good game, I get like someone. There's one account on Instagram. I can't remember what it is. It's like, it's a Sacramento account, obviously. But every time he has a good game, these niggas will post the original graphic that they created in December of 2020. Mm. Throwback when ESPN, like with no reference to anything, just as if that shit just happened today on the day he scored 50 or on the day they beat the Celtics by 40 or whatever. They do that shit. And I'm like, I get it, man. Engagement farms, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Now, I mean, like it all goes back to the lunch table. You know what I'm saying? She's the pretty girl who's picking on a nerdy white nigga and pulling a bullhorn, and everybody laughs at lunch. And it doesn't matter the context. Everybody laughs.
Hey, man, don't be calling my brother.
That's how I'm not no nerd, yo.
Nah, he a nerd.
He's a basketball writer, nigga. He's a nerd.
He knows how to put a durag on, bro.
The nigga podcast is called Nerder She Wrote, man. The nigga had a podcast called Nerder She Wrote. He's a nerd.
I fuck with Tom, but I'm just saying
that. We're not fighting that one. But I guess Jason, yeah, I guess it's nerd, a difference
that nerdy
between
nigga, like he was like he didn't have a Mr. Bitches run in Miami probably.
Yo, chill.
All right, yeah, I'm joking.
So Jason, I'm gonna give you an example. You know Mandy, right? Mandy from Horrible Decisions podcast.
Yeah,
right. Thick Mandy, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If Thick Mandy had said that shit, I'd be like, that's Mandy, man. Like, she talking shit. Like, she getting it off, right? If Weezy had said that shit, if Melissa Ford had said that shit, if, like, any number of pretty girls who have a bullhorn said that shit, I'd be like, you know what? This girl went to journalism school, my man. This girl worked in local news. Like, you're supposed to know better, right? You're supposed to know better. And, like, in a way, that's it. That like I was like, oh, that's disappointing. Like if it was someone else, I wouldn't even have like responded. I put she posted on Instagram and I wrote, for what it's worth, he didn't get it last. He didn't hold on to it since last year. He says clearly he got it last week, right? That's beyond the content. I'm not even gonna push you on the content. So I guess I was a little like disappointed. I'm like, you're supposed to know better. Like if
Angela Rye. You know better.
Right.
Angela.
But I think, honestly, like, we get into the minutia of it, like, Demetria is kind of, like, right on the cusp of, like, can I get popping off the internet versus, like, the...
Yeah. No, for sure.
Like, the real journalist.
But, like, if you... But my thing is this, right? Like, Eric Spoelstra is a great coach, right? Mm-hmm. Eric Spoelstra started in the video room. Started as a video coordinator. So it would be like if Eric Spoelstra started shitting on a video coordinator. Because now I'm a coach. I'm winning. Like, nah, man. Like, you know where you came from. You know you have a level of discerning.
Don't forget about the people or where you came from.
Yeah. Or like especially, like, that's where you know the deal. You know how, like, people don't read shit. Don't listen to shit. They just react off of 140 characters. So she should know. I thought she should know better than to do that. It's the same. Like, every time I get into some shit on the internet, I don't give a fuck when it's like these random people. I'll talk my shit or whatever. But the ones where I'm like, I will always hit up people like, yo, bro, you fucking, like, I'll give you a great example. When I did my whole shit with the wrestling thing, y'all remember that shit?
What wrestling?
You know, the thing where the motherfuckers got mad because I said, the dude who won the thing, I was like, there was a tweet where it's like a picture, a video of a kid watching his dad win the intergalactic whatever, whatever. And it's like, oh, USA Today was like, must watch. So-and-so's son discovering his dad wins a thing. And I was like, I quoted it. I was like, yeah, until he finds out it was all fucking scripted. it was like an innocent, like, joke or whatever. Like, oh, my God, my dad won the thing that they wrote. It's okay. Now, all these wrestling people got mad. It turns out the kid is autistic. So then, rather than be mad at me because I made a joke about wrestling, they turned it into, I'm making fun of an autistic kid. I said, I'm not making fun of the kid. I'm making fun of wrestling. I didn't get to say, stupid ass. I didn't say that shit. I said, wrestling. But now it's getting bigger and bigger. Now the motherfuckers, the wrestlers are fucking, the fucking WWE people. Mick Foley, the nigga that wears a fucking...
Mick Foley came after
you? Yeah.
No,
oh,
bro.
Hell yeah.
What? Yo, you don't want to with Mick Foley, dog.
I don't give a fuck, man. Like... I don't, like I said, you can
I seen
be like,
that man get choke slammed through a steel cage and laying on nails, bro. You don't want that.
Stop smoke. Glazing.
Look at
stop glazing.
Greatest, yeah. Hey, that was the greatest match of all time.
Stop glazing, man.
Hold up, bro. Hold up. Since you won't go there, can I ask y'all questions completely?
No.
I'll let you go ahead. Do your thing.
Then you bring it. So, like, I don't give a fuck, honestly, because if that nigga said, hey, man, don't say that shit about wrestling, I'll be like, all right, bro, you got it. My bad. But when you say, hey, man, you can't make fun of that kid and all, da, 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 da. I'm like, yo, bro, I didn't say that shit. You're not going to make me act like I said that shit. Now, here's what happened. WWE had just the week before got into a $100 million deal with ESPN for ESPN to cover them like they're a real fucking sport, which is fucking dumb. But the niggas from WWE literally called ESPN to complain about me. So then... The ESPN was like, yo, man, you got to apologize. I was like, I didn't say shit. And they're like, yeah. And my man, shout out to my man, I'll say his name, Josh Krulowitz. He's real. Because he said to me, Amin, you could either fight this shit, and you're right, you didn't do shit, and burn all the capital it takes to make sure that you're right on this thing. Or you could just say, I'm sorry, and make it go away, and save all that capital for another day when you really need it. So shout out to him. I was like, all right, I'll do the apology, whatever. One of the niggas that worked at ESPN that I worked with, what was my man, Jerv, was a bald-headed black dude, light-skinned black dude, who used to do sports and he had the radio show, and he was really into wrestling. Can't remember the name.
Freddie?
Not Freddie. No, shout out to Freddie's my man. Freddie's still there. No, this nigga's not there. Jonathan Coachman.
Coach. Yeah.
Jonathan Coachman, who I'd done his radio show multiple times, including filling in for his guest co-host. Always rock with the dude. Always, hey, man, whatever you want to do. Always playing along. Always courteous every time I see him. What's up, man? Always cool with him. Seeing him in the cafeteria, whatever. This nigga gonna do a whole 15-minute segment about me on his show? I'm not saying you have to have me on to respond or whatever. Nigga, you're not gonna text me? Hey, man, I was disappointed by da-da-da-da. Or, hey, man, what the fuck happened? None of that shit. You will do a whole ass segment. Again, millions of wrestling fans, including fucking Mick Foley or whatever the fuck, Y'all are stupid. Y'all got it wrong. I don't give a fuck about y'all. But you, nigga, you're supposed to know better. You're supposed to know better because you have my number. You have my, you're in my, we followed you. You could DM me. You could reach out. You could get your producer to reach out to me. Not to put me on air. Have a conversation. I hurt your feelings. Have a conversation. Don't fucking do that shit. Talking shit about me or whatever. Like, it was just, it was fucking ridiculous, man. So, I mean, I always get sensitive to that when people who should know. I never get sensitive to randos. I never get sensitive to the some dudes of the world. I get sensitive when it's like, no, you're a real person. You're a real person who has my contact info. Or you're a real person who knows this job. Don't do that. Don't fucking spill that shit like that.
Jerv, were you about to say something about the Hell in a Cell match?
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass-on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like,
yeah, whatever. Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Yeah.
No, it was about the same thing.
About glazing. It was about glazing.
Yeah. The audacity of this man to come at me like that. Y'all had a con. I wanted to ask. Mm-hmm. It's been a lot of social media action going on, a lot of stuff. And there was a conversation on the pod maybe about 2-3 episodes ago where a certain individual, I'm not going to say his name, but he's in the top right corner. He might be in the top right corner of this podcast today, right? Said that, you know, he can't tell certain people that they did a good job or had a good game or something like that because, you know, it's this and a third. And then there's a whole bunch of
just love on the internet, and I just want to know how come that's okay, but you can't.
About what? I don't. You got to give me some details here, Jerv. I don't know.
Oh, okay, so let's just say.
I'm gonna show you Fan EXO after you finish too, because I'm a back.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. I mean, let's just say you were an individual that had a friend that played basketball for a professional organization. We'll just call it the NBA for this conversation. Sure. And this person is one of the best in the world, right? Top three or four kind of guy.
Okay, I know that's part of it. Like, tell me what the thing was that Trey said.
I mean, I mean, anytime that said person has a good game, there's an at and a yo gets buckets or crazy shot and all this shit. But niggas is too cool to say it. Like when if they kicking it, like, yo, dog, you had a good game, but you can. Oh man, such and such gets buckets.
Okay, Trey. So now I'm gonna give you an opportunity to respond to these allegations. Right. That
can you bleep the name too? You got me.
Yeah, I got you.
I think we know. No.
I'm not bleeping that. It's
name. Another name.
Brother. Because we don't want. I mean, it's already.
My bad. I forgot who I'm talking to. My bad, right, dog. Brother. I don't want no disrespect.
So when put out this little rumor that K was frustrated, you feel me? All of a sudden, everybody expected my boy to ask for a trade. That wasn't the case. Very loose rhetoric on a national publication. So the best way to respond is having a good game, brother. My man responded with a triple-double. I said, rumor has it, K had a triple-double. Use those sources. It's talking shit. Yep. You feel me? Because, again, if any of y'all niggas, if niggas was trying to shit on Jason, and it got too far, I'm using you as an example because I like you, brother. If it got too far and I sat around and I laughed and niggas is laughing too hard, I'm going to be like, hold on, not too much on my guy, brother. You know what I'm saying? Because y'all going too far. You know what I'm saying? Y'all going too far. And in the situation, NBA Twitter being NBA Twitter, Black Twitter being Black Twitter, was questioning legacies, was saying, oh, he gonna get trade. He requesting a trade to the Lakers. I'm sick of this dude. And I'm like, just because a nigga frustrated. The Pistons just won their fucking first game in 2 months. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you, but Trey, I think it's all back to the same like lunchroom vibe. Like, niggas is gonna talk shit.
I mean,
when niggas threw the you know what I'm saying, whatever.
I don't think it was a joke. I think when you talk about that bleep individual, it's more facts. Yeah, people hear his name.
They don't question that.
They don't question that at all.
I still feel like it's a Gatorade in the hallway. Like, somebody threw an open Gatorade in the hallway.
That's fine and dandy. Shout out to you for being a stand-up friend. Shout out to you, my brother. You know, all that's fine and dandy. What I'm saying is, you're circling around my point, which is, if you can do all that, there should be nothing wrong with saying, yo, man, he had a good game last night. Look, you can do all this, you can tell the nigga he had a good game. That's all I'm saying.
I'm sure. But again, people know I'm close to the situation. A couple times I've been texted a couple times asking why does he want to go? Why does he want to get traded? Yada, yada, yada. The best response was the performance.
Oh, that's great. Right. You can still tell the nigga game. Sure. That's all I'm saying. Right,
people right. ask
this nigga dancing around my point, which is, if you about to go on this social, this social crusade, my nigga, there's nothing wrong with like, yo, fam.
Hey,
yo,
but hit
shit out more last night.
Hey, hit dogs holler. You got offended because I said you was glazing Mick Foley.
Which fuck you were, brother?
Y'all little Cali motherfuckers is real cool with y'all little Euro steps y'all be trying to do on conversations and shit to get the heat off y'all.
To the listeners, I was glazing. If that makes you feel better.
Whoa.
That's
the clip. That's nothing to do with anything, but that is the clip.
Just that to the listeners, I was glazing. Shit.
Perfect.
All right,
that's gonna do it for us here. Remember, patreon.com/countthedings. Subscribe, Make sure you're getting all the stuff, all the extra stuff. Have a happy new year, everybody. For Jason Madison, for Trey Edwards, for John Gervais, I'm Amino Hassan, reminding you to stay black, motherfuckers.